This is Authors in Focus.
Hi, I'm James Reed, fantasy author publishing under JMD Reed. My newest fantasy series is going strong. Readers have enjoyed Diamond Stained. Now Oban and Avina return for their fifth and final story. Things have never been more dangerous. The entirety of the five-book Secret of the Jewel series is out on Amazon and free in Kindle Unlimited. Today, I'm joined by Kevin Potter, the epic fantasy author of the Valhalla Saga.
Hi, Kevin. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm in my new place, and I'm sort of settled. I have my office put together, and I got back to work today, so that was nice.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
How's the new
place? How about yourself? It's expensive.
Yeah, I think they usually are.
Apparently, housing prices and rental prices nearly doubled in the decade I was renting my place, and my landlord apparently wasn't keeping up with inflated prices, so it was a bit of a shock when I had to find a new place.
Fair enough. Been there, done that. Yeah. That's why I'm no longer in Utah, so I get it.
Anyways, I always like to start these out with some fun questions. Okay. And since you're writing about dragons, what is your favorite color for a dragon?
Oh, that's tough. This fluctuates frequently, but okay. At this point, I'm going to go with purple.
Okay. Are there any cool purple dragons in your books?
There are, in fact. You don't encounter them until around book 3 or 4. But, okay. Yeah.
So, how long have you wanted to be a writer, Kevin?
Pretty much as long as I can remember, honestly. Okay. I wrote my first short story for school when I was like 7, about a magical pair of shoes, and it's just been a lifelong thing since then.
Okay. Magic pair of shoes, huh?
Yeah. Not my best work, obviously.
no one's work is their best from the 7th grade. So what led you to publishing?
I mean, it's been something that was in the back of my mind for a long time. Like, I actively decided career author is something I want to do when I was in probably 8th grade. And of course, everyone around me is telling me, no, you can't make any money doing that. There's no life there, yada, yada, yada. But it's been in the back of my mind since then. I didn't really get serious about it until probably 2013. I found myself with a whole lot of time on my hands. I was working graveyard shifts at my regular job, and I had pretty much my whole 8-hour shift to do what I wanted. So I started writing, and nice. You know, of course, my early attempts were trash, but I, you know, did some work, did a lot of self-education on my own time to try and improve that and get to where I was comfortable actually publishing something.
Okay. So let's talk about what you've actually published. The Valhalla Saga.
Yes.
Is your fantasy book. It stars Daria, who is an honorable dragon who is seeking to stop her own kind from just annihilating the humans. Is that correct?
Pretty much, yeah.
All right. So let's talk about Daria. What makes her such an interesting protagonist?
For me, a lot of it is that she's got some history behind her, where she's done a few things that she's not terribly proud of, but she learned from that.
Okay.
You know, at one point in her early adulthood, she made a conscious decision about what kind of person she wanted to be, which consequently is largely modeled off after her father.
Okay.
And in addition to that, she's a member of a very rare species of dragon. She's a platinum dragon, of which there are not very many. And that's something that I haven't really seen in very many fantasy worlds. Usually if you see one, it's a god. And I wanted to explore the idea of this being an actual species and why they might be so rare and why they're unusual and maybe eventually down the road where they came from.
All right. So What led you to having a dragon be your protagonist?
Well, it's something that throughout all my reading life, I've always felt was lacking in fantasy books. It's like in most fantasy books that have dragons, usually either the dragon is the villain or it's a set piece for a dragon rider, or, you know, in certain extreme circumstances, they're relegated to little more than beasts of burden. And I've always felt that something with the epic power of a dragon, not to mention in most fantasy universes that are attributed extreme intelligence, it always just struck me as odd that they would be relegated to a position of subservience. So okay. I wanted to make them more prominent in my own books.
Nice. So what other characters are there in the series besides Daria?
Lots. Okay, so I hesitate to call him the main villain because he's complicated. But the closest thing I have to him start, his name is Sura.
Okay.
He's what I call an agate dragon, which is basically a black dragon. Okay. And he's more violent, he's very volatile, and you know, his opinion is that humans are basically trash and need to be eliminated. And he's been pushing that agenda for a very long time.
Okay.
Apart from him, I have a garnet dragon, which is Daria's, basically her best friend.
Okay.
And again, there's a lot of complicated history behind that. But she's kind of a mix of both worlds. Like she's, her breed is naturally destructive, but she was raised differently, so she's in an almost constant battle against her nature.
Okay. So from reading the blurb, I got the impression that Daria is going to get turned into a human, or that dragons can change form. Is this correct, or did I get the wrong impression?
Some of the dragons can shape change.
Okay.
Part of it is dependent on breed, and in other cases, it's just a matter of how much arcane power they can muster.
Okay.
And in the beginning of the first book, she does end up getting sort of trapped in that human form.
Okay. So is that sort of like the goal of the first book? How do I stop being a human and stop the dragon apocalypse?
That's part of it, yes.
Okay. Sounds like an interesting plot. I believe I saw 4 books for the series on Amazon. Is that more coming, or is that the entire series?
Oh, there's more. There's 3 that are currently out. The 4th is on pre-order, and
okay.
I have tentatively 2 more probably. But then there's sort of an interim book. And then it goes into a secondary series, which features one of the characters from this one. So it's all right. Linked.
Nice. It's always fun to build worlds like that.
Definitely.
And speaking of building worlds, I noticed in your bio that you mentioned that you used to be a dungeon master in Dungeons & Dragons. I was just curious how much did DMing affect like your writing, or did it help you with your world building or anything like that?
I feel like it was extremely helpful in the world building and the way I put stories together.
Okay.
And of course, the whole world that most of my stories are going to take place in began as a world I created for a D&D game. So there's that.
Yes, I was noticing some of the stuff you're talking about with dragons. It's not uncommon in D&D for dragons to be able to polymorph into humanoid forms and stuff.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, I used to play it all the time. And I DM'd, and I never used any of my actual books as a setting. Although, when I was writing my first fantasy book, when I was still with my old group, I thought about running an adventure. It was such a different world. I was like, it would have required a lot of homebrew rules. I just didn't have time because it was And it would have required me to like limit them on races and stuff. My players, they're kind of that type. They're kind of min-maxers, and so they don't like being limited.
Yeah, I think gamers eventually get to that point. My reason for starting that the way I did is there's an author. Her name is C.S. Friedman. You may have heard of her.
I don't believe I have.
Okay, you should definitely look her up. She's amazing. Anyway, once upon a time in a blog post, she was talking about how she designs her worlds, and she basically, whatever magic system she comes up with, she uses that as a basis for not necessarily D&D, but some sort of role-playing game, because her perspective is, if there's a way to break your magic system, D&D players will figure it out.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's interesting. So she's, yeah. She's definitely a proponent of the hard magic, because soft magic doesn't really work in an RPG.
I mean, unless you don't allow players access to it.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah, but if you want your players to use it as a rule set, it has to be very hard magic with defined rules, which is fine. I like writing hard magic systems myself.
I don't think I could do a soft magic system, personally. I mean, I don't necessarily define all the rules ahead of time, but it has to have rules, or I just don't think I could work with it.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. Like, I mean, it doesn't have to be really super hard. Like, I could build a magic system that has some amount of wiggle room, or some amount of, like, I could build upon it and introduce new stuff that would kind of go with how it worked before.
Right.
Like, actually, my first magic system, I kind of had a kind of a soft magic system. It was kind of very much like the power of the gods, and it was very much acts of creation, and, you know, but, like, the magic that, like, mortals normally got access to was very hard, you know. It was like you get one of four categories, and it comes at one of three strengths, and these are very much what you can and can't do with it. And there are, like, magic items that, like, function off those and, you know, can sort of broaden your ability base if you have the right magic items and stuff. But, yeah. But then it let me do some sort of, like the really huge stuff, like world affecting magic effects and stuff like that I couldn't do with the very hard limited stuff that, like, you know, a normal person got access to.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So are you a plotter or a pantser?
Oh, the eternal question. I would classify myself as mostly a pantser.
Okay.
It's mostly discovery written. I usually, when I start a book, I'll have, you know, these are the characters, this is roughly what's happening when I start. I have maybe a plot point or two that I want to hit at some point, and I have at least an idea of where it's going to end, and that's about as far as it goes. From there, it's just situational, what would these characters do, and I just let it run.
Okay. Yeah, when you said maybe two more books in the series, I had a feeling you were more on the pantsing side.
Yeah.
But, like, a plotter would have been, there would be this many books left. Unless they're, like, grossly underestimated how much word space. Like, I know I did that. My first book I outlined, it's like, I thought I was going to do this all in one book, and then I was at, like, 150,000 words, and I was like, I'm, like, halfway through this outline, and I feel like I could turn this into an ending, you know, and have, like, a complete arc for characters, and, you know, it required, like, shifting around, like, some relationship conclusions towards, you know, from where I wanted them later on in the book up here, but it wouldn't affect the second book at all. But, yeah, I was like, oh, so that taught me, you know, better engaging.
Yeah.
I know Robert Jordan and George R. R. Martin have both underestimated how long they thought their series would be.
It's a common thing, I think, you know, especially for those who don't, you know, specifically plot out every single detail.
And it wasn't exactly that I plotted out every single detail. It was more like I just had, these are, like, the high points.
Right.
And to work toward, that's kind of how I work. I'll know, like, every major, I'll know all the, when I figure out a book before I write, I'll know all the major events. You know, maybe the set pieces that I've been kicking around my head that I've wanted to do, you know, and I finally could figure out how to put them into this book of a series, or, you know, just the where I want the, our big character moments. And then it's, then I have to write towards them. And now I'll do detailed outlines and spurts, like a couple chapters at a time, that kind of write me from one big event to the next.
Right.
But that way I can track my characters and kind of be flexible and see what they're doing. And sometimes I have to throw out like lines because of how the characters get written, and it just doesn't work any longer, and I have to improvise. That that happened to me on my fourth book of the series I just finished writing, like in a really big curveball way that threw off my entire ending and nearly derailed the series.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
this is a weird one.
To my writing process, I have a book. It's the second book I ever wrote, and it's currently the book that's going to bridge the two series together.
Okay.
This book began as, I have this wordplay joke I want to tell. That was the whole plan. And I designed, you know, a dozen characters, major plot events, 60,000 words later, here's a book.
Yeah, no, that's kind of me. I am like Secret of the Jewels, I had one idea, like, what if X happened to my main character? And that happens at the end of book three and like the beginning of book four. Mm-hmm. And like the rest of it was just me figuring out, like it's an idea I had kicking around my head for years. And then I wanted to write this one story, and it just sort of like, well, this is the perfect place to slide this idea in and build the series around, because it works kind of thematically.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think that's, you know, how all stories is, like, you have a little kernel that you just kind of build off of.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes the original idea doesn't even make it into the story because something better came out of it or stuff like that.
True.
I mean, I wrote my first fantasy series because I didn't think I was good enough to write this other story I wanted to, so I thought I'd write this lighthearted swashbuckling adventure, and instead it turned into a dark epic fantasy series on me.
That sounds really familiar, actually.
Yeah.
I have a series that's waiting in the wings right now. I have about 2.5 books of it written out in rough draft, and I have for several years. But I don't think my skills are up to the challenge of doing it justice yet. So I'm going to write this epic fantasy series that's probably going to end up being about 5 million words. And, you know, we'll go from there.
That's quite a lot of words.
Yeah.
My brain.
I don't have small ideas.
I mean, my epic fantasy series is like 1 million words. And although I'm working in basically a giant universe where I'm putting a bunch of stories into the same universe that kind of all tie together. And although there's been shorter books, like 80 to 105,000 words, you know, it's going to start adding up, I think.
Yeah, that's
I think I'm almost, I'm coming up on 1 million now.
It's like I've got my first series that the first book's only like 50,000. The second book's 80,000. And they sort of go up from there. You know, the last couple are probably going to be 250,000 books. You know, that first series is probably going to be about 1 million or maybe a little less than that. But then I've got the second series that so far I only have one book written for it, but I know it's going to be at least 10 more, and they're all going to be at least 250,000, if not more.
I wrote one book that's over that, and that was a slog to write that. Like, I got 2/3 of the way through it, and I was like, I'm never finishing this novel. I'm entering month 3 writing this thing, and like I plotted out my finale, and I was like, this finale is a novel in and of itself.
Yeah,
because there was you know, the culmination of 4 previous books and all these events, and I believe it was 70,000 words from when I considered the finale to start until like I wrote the denouement.
Yeah.
I was like, all right.
The one book that I have in the second series so far, I spent about 4 months on the first draft. It's 275,000 words, and about 50,000 of that is dedicated to the climactic battle at the end.
Yeah, it was a pretty crazy battle. For those few people that got all the way up to Shattered Sunlight, it's a pretty crazy battle.
I'll bet.
Well, so You got another book coming out in your series. Anything else you're going to be publishing soon?
Not soon. I think it's going to be a while yet. And I've got this one. I haven't even started on what's next yet. But next is going to be the fifth book in that series, which is probably going to end up being a 200,000 word book. So it's going to take me a bit.
Okay. Yeah, but how long does it take you to write a book that long?
I mean, it varies a lot. Like I said, the epics, this the first book in the second series, I first drafted that in about 4 months. It was about 9 months from start to publication.
That's not bad for a
but then I've got book
that long.
The next one that's coming out here shortly, I've been working on it for over a year, and it's not even quite finished yet. this whole pandemic crap has been very bad for my productivity.
That sucks.
Yeah.
It's been bad for my waistline, but not my productivity. My moving has been bad for my productivity.
I can imagine. But,
yeah. Well, where can our listeners find you on the internet, Kevin?
They can find my website at kevinpotterauthor.com, or I'm on Facebook at facebook.com/kpotter.fiction, or I'm on Twitter at kpotterbooks.
Okay. Do you have a fan group on Twitter? Or not Twitter, Facebook?
I do. It doesn't get a lot of attention these days, but it's there.
Okay. Well, it was really great talking with you, Kevin.
And you too.
All right. You have yourself a good one.
You too.
This has been Authors in Focus. You can find my fantasy novels on Amazon. Follow news of my writing at my blog, jmd-read.com. And follow me on Twitter, at jmdread. You can also join my reader group on Facebook, Fantastical Worlds of the Imagination. You can find more episodes of the podcast at fantasy-focus.com and wherever your favorite podcast is hosted.